verses 23 through 29. This is God's word. Hear it. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we come to dwell on it together this morning, you would help us to approach it with respect and with expectation, with a real conviction that you are a God who can communicate, and you're communicating through your word to us. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Bless our time together this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are jumping into just about the very middle of the wonderful book of Galatians this morning. It's our normal practice to study through a whole book of the Bible, to come to understand the kind of whole argument the author is making. And Paul has been making an argument in this book of Galatians. It's an argument about law and grace and how we are justified by faith and nothing else. It's a wonderful book. If you have an extra 20 minutes sometime this week, you might want to read through that book of Galatians. But as this is a baptism service, we're focusing in on that topic today. And that draws our attention particularly here to verse 27 of Galatians 3. Paul isn't giving some sort of, you know, full-blown explanation of baptism. He's not giving a systematic theology kind of description of the ordinance. I mean, we don't actually have that kind of description of baptism in the Bible. Instead, we have many passages in the New Testament that talk about different aspects of what baptism signifies. Romans 6 describes how baptism is tied to the death and resurrection of Jesus. In baptism, we die and rise again with Christ. The examples in the book of Acts regularly tie baptism to faith. Believe and be baptized. We hear from the apostles over and over. Here in Galatians, baptism is described as putting on Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Putting on Christ. How much time did you put into thinking about what you would put on this morning? The clothes that you would wear here? Well, I can look around at you and I can see, you know, some took more care than others, perhaps, but everyone took some care. You know, I see a lot of matching colors, clothes that are appropriate for the occasion, you know. If you're a Christian, what matters infinitely more than your clothing choices is that you've put on Christ. As we think about these things, I do want to speak directly to the individuals who are being baptized this morning, to Tessa and Rodney and Michael. This baptism that you are about to experience is intended to picture the truth that you have put on Christ. As we think about these things, I want to talk to all believers. Think back to your own baptism. Think of who you are now. You've put on Christ. I also want to speak to those who've never put their faith in Jesus. What are you wearing? And I don't mean your clothes. Before God, the just and holy one who sees all things, what do you look like to him? How does he see you? It's really the most important question you can ask about yourself. How does God see me? So we think about these things. We'll ask three main questions this morning. First, what does it mean to put on Christ? Second, how do we do that? And third, how should we live as those who have put on Christ? So three questions. Let's begin with number one. What does it mean to put on Christ? You could think that putting on Christ has something to do with, you know, how we live. Putting on Christ would be, you know, like trying to act like Jesus, trying to do what we think Jesus would do. You know, film studios sometimes produce movies about real life people. Now, this is pretty common. They want to make a biographical film, a biopic about a real person, sometimes even a person who's still alive. And so we have an actor like Timothée Chalamet in A Complete Unknown pretending to be Bob Dylan. Or Austin Butler pretending to be Elvis Presley, or Helen Mirren pretending to be Queen Elizabeth II, or Jamie Foxx pretending to be Ray Charles. In all of those cases, in a sense, those actors are trying to put on the mannerisms of the people they're working to represent. They spend hours, you know, watching video and listening to voice recordings. They imitate the style and the affectations. Through great amount of effort, they come to look like and act like the person that they're copying. Is that what it means for us to put on Christ? You know, we try really hard to be like him. Well, Christians do try really hard to be like Jesus. We do desire to grow in Christ-likeness. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." We don't try to copy Jesus' appearance or mannerisms. We don't know what many of those things were. But we do try to live according to his word. However, I don't think that's what Paul means by putting on Christ here in Galatians 3. It's not simply be as much like him as possible. Really, the point of the book of Galatians is that we cannot perfectly imitate Jesus. We can't perfectly keep the law of God, even if we wanted to. We cannot do enough to make ourselves righteous. Christianity is not simply about, you know, living better, about keeping the rules, about imitating Jesus. By putting on Christ, Paul means identifying ourselves with him. He means saying, I'm with Jesus. You know, putting on the uniform of Team Jesus. That's the kind of language Paul is using. He says, put on, like clothing. I'm wearing the uniform of Jesus. And that's not a suit and a tie. It's the name and the character of Jesus. A uniform tells everyone around us whose side we're on. In Acts chapter 11, we're told about the spread of the early church. Some Christians went up to the Mediterranean city of Antioch, and there the followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Even in that name, they were taking on Christ. And that's part of what baptism is. It's a public statement that I am his. I am a Christian. There's an even deeper reality to putting on Christ. It's not simply that we wear a uniform. You know, that's how the world sees us. No, in a real way, Christians put on the righteousness of Jesus. The view of people doesn't ultimately matter all that much. It's the view of God that matters. Christians put on Christ so that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Earlier in the service, we sang the hymn, His Robes for Mine. We sang, His Robes for Mine, a wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. Putting on Christ is more than just a personal identification with Jesus. It means being clothed in his righteousness. And it's not some trick we're pulling over on God. We are righteous in God's sight because of the righteousness of Jesus. Think of that. If you're a Christian this morning, you have put on Christ. I mean, think of the testimonies that you've already heard. All of them pointed to the righteousness of Jesus. You know, no one who came up here and stood and gave a testimony said, I want to be baptized because I followed Jesus really, really well for the last year. No, their testimonies were, I'm identifying myself with him. I'm clothed in his righteousness. Friends, that's what it means to put on Christ. It means to identify ourselves with him and to find our righteousness before God only in the work of Jesus credited to our account. Now that brings us to question two. How do we do that? How do we put on Christ? In Galatians 3, Paul is not calling the Galatians really to do this themselves. He assumes that it's already been done. You know, do we put on Christ like an actor does? Just imitate him really closely? No. Do we put on Christ by being baptized? You know, is it something in the water? Let me tell you, no. This is just normal water in there. We didn't even bless it or anything. Yeah. Verse 27 again says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." They didn't put on Christ by being baptized. Those who were baptized had already put on Christ. Let me give just a very short plug here for the idea of believers' baptism. Paul is envisioning a situation where all those who are baptized have put their faith in Christ. They've put on Christ. And by put on Christ, he means they're justified. They're right with God. He has no idea of a person who has been baptized who hasn't put on Christ. But he also has no idea that it's the water of baptism that does it. So how do we put on Jesus? By faith. That's really the focus of the whole book of Galatians. It's the focus of verses 23 to 26. Look at those verses. "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Paul doesn't say you're sons of God through keeping every one of God's commands. You're sons of God by being baptized. No, you're sons of God through faith. By believing, by trusting in the righteousness of Jesus, by trusting that that righteousness is for you. Before someone is baptized in this church, they have to meet with some of the leaders of the church. We ask those people a number of questions. We ask about their testimony. What was their experience of coming to know Jesus? And then we ask for their understanding of the gospel. How are you made righteous before God? And what we're listening for is that truth. I'm made righteous not because of anything that I did. I can't do anything to save myself. I'm made righteous by putting my faith in the righteousness God has provided for me in Christ. That's what we rejoice to hear. Not simply as some, you know, theological, you know, tenet, but as a personal reality. Not just asserting, agreeing that that's taught in the Bible, but acknowledging that it's true for me. Jesus lived for me. Jesus died for me, and I lay hold of his righteousness by faith. In order to be a Christian, we must put on Christ. We do that by faith, by trusting in the sacrifice God has provided in Jesus. Friends, have you put your faith in Jesus? Many around you in this room have done so. These people who are about to be baptized have put their faith in Jesus. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, recognize that there is no other way to please God. There's no other way to satisfy his justice. There's no other way to make yourself righteous in his sight. We must put on Christ by faith. Well, that brings us to our final question, number three. We've looked at the question, what does it mean to put on Christ? It means to be clothed in his righteousness in the sight of God. We've looked at the question, how do we do that? Not by doing, but by believing. We put on Christ by faith. Now we ask that question, how should we live as those who have put on Christ? This is a big question, and Paul doesn't give many answers to that here in Galatians 3. There are lots of commands for Christians in other places. But one solid implication is that if we've put on Christ by faith, we should work to be like him. Remember, it's not our work that makes us put him on. We do that by faith, but if we've put him on, we should be like him. We can't say that we've put him on and then live like we haven't. I mean, that would be like an actor saying, you know, I've put on Winston Churchill. And then they go out and, you know, play basketball in a tracksuit and talk in an Alabama accent. Wouldn't make sense. You know, that's not Winston Churchill. No, we're called to conform our lives to Christ. If you're a Christian, read the Gospels. See the life of Jesus. See his mercy. See his patience. Put those things on. Another application for those who have put on Christ: live with Christ as your primary identity. Look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking to identity there. He's not getting rid of all distinctions. I mean, all of the distinctions Paul cites there are established by God in some way. You know, Jew or Greek, that's a racial distinction. Slave or free, that's a class distinction, and God is sovereign over that. Male or female, God made you one of those. Paul isn't saying there is no gender, there is no race, there is no station in life. He's saying your identity as a Christian is primary. And so all Christians are one in Christ. Imagine that you're playing on a sports team. You know, let's make it a soccer team because that's my favorite. When you're in the game, all your other identities should be subsumed under the identity of teammate. You and your teammate might be of different races, perhaps, you know. You might have different interests off the field. You might have different backgrounds and experiences. Those things are interesting. They're part of your individual makeup. But on the field, the thing that matters is the team that you're on. Christian, live as if Christian is your most important identity. Care about your spiritual health most fundamentally. Care about the health of the church, your local church, and God's universal church. Save your energies for following Him and serving Him. Love others who love Christ as well. Think of the other identities that you might make primary. You know, maybe it's the identity of political party. When you think of yourself, you think of yourself as Republican or Democrat. Well, how would you act if that were your primary identity? Well, you'd probably be most concerned about political movements, right? You'd give yourself to activism one way or another. You'd look for salvation there. What if your hobbies, you know, became your primary identity? You are a hunter, or a traveler, or a film enthusiast, or whatever it is. Well, that identity would affect what you think about most. Imagine that your relationship status becomes your primary identity. I am married, or I am a father or a mother. Those things can take on a whole consuming character. This is who I am. Christian, your primary identity is Christ. And if you are in Him, then you're Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Live that way. Love Christ. Love God's people. If you're not a Christian, what is your identity? Maybe it's some of those things that I mentioned earlier. Parent, you know, spouse, activist, hobbyist. Maybe your identity, if you really think about yourself, is basically good person. Well, the Bible says that if we are not in Christ, we all have another identity. And that identity is enemy of God. We have many interests, but in God's sight, we are either those who have put on Christ or we're enemies living in rebellion against God. And that's a terrible place to be. At war with God, fighting against Him, doomed. That's who you are if you're not a Christian. But you can put on Christ. Even today, not by, you know, jumping in the baptismal. We aren't doing any spontaneous baptisms this morning. But you can lay hold of Christ by faith. Admit your need for a Savior. Recognize in Jesus the righteousness of God that you need. Turn to Him. Believe He is your Savior. Become one of His people today. It's our normal practice on baptism Sundays to sing the hymn, "Who is on the Lord's Side?" It's a hymn that emphasizes our identification with Christ. And each verse of the hymn ends with the rousing line, "We are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine." I recognize that that phrase can sound arrogant. We are on God's side. It can sound to people like you're saying, we are right. But friends, there's no pride in identifying with Christ. Beggars can't be proud. By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. We are his because we've put on Christ. May that be your declaration today as well. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the righteousness of Christ made available to us. And we praise you that we can lay hold of that righteousness by faith, by trusting. Lord, would you please be with us? Would you help us to firmly lay hold of that righteousness, to find our joy in identifying with our Savior Jesus? We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.